today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
When you set a goal, you will go after that goal until you finish the goal. When you're full of the Spirit. We need to flush. We've been full of junk, but God wants us to be full of the Spirit. We've been full of foolishness, but we need to be full of the Spirit. Jesus identifies himself as the door. As the door. I am the door. You don't have to ask any more questions about that. Well, what about Confucius? And what about Muhammad? What? Jesus said, I'm the door. So ain't nothing like the real thing, baby.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Living the Abundant Life. Today, Bishop will be teaching from John chapter 10, verses 1 and 7 through 10.
That is John chapter 10, verse 1, and then John 10, 7 through 10. The word of the Lord is on the screen. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The same is a thief. You must come in through the door. And then verse 7 through verse 10. Then Jesus said unto them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. Why? They didn't come through the door. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Here's the word, I have come that you may have life and that they may have it, or that they may have life more abundantly. Can the church say amen? This is the fat month, the fullness of God. We've been teaching a message called Attaining Life's Finest. Today's message here at 8 o'clock, Living the Abundant Life. It is God's will for you to live a life of fullness, which is called the abundant life. And it starts with entering in through the door. And I really believe the Lord is with this, and I pray that you would be strengthened by the word of God and that you would step into fullness. Three things I believe the Lord wants to do. Number one, he wants to heal your body. He wants to heal us. We need to decree that. Secondly, he wants kingdom expansion in your life financially. I still see $10,000 checks. Glory to God. Expect God to bless you with some money. And when he does, you need to break off a portion of it and bring it to him. I don't get amens on that one. I get amens on give me $10,000, but what do you do with it? I shouldn't have to ask you. You should already have it in your soul. As soon as the money come in, you should start seeing seed. I got the soul. Say it, I got the soul. That's what you should see in your spirit. Kingdom expansion. Put something in God's hands. And then lastly, we need to believe God that souls would be saved. There are people who need the abundant life, and he wants to give it to them. It's so good to see Aaron Wilson and Dexter Craig all the way back in the kingdom, man. Oh, my God. We bless you all. We bless you. I'm overjoyed this morning. I need to pray, right? Father, I thank you for Aaron, and I thank you for Dexter, and I give you praise for Caleb Williams. And I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your people everywhere. Thank you for Zelinda. Thank you for our people coming home. Bless this entire church. Bless this message. I pray now that you would give us ears to hear, a mind to comprehend, hearts to receive, and the spirit to contain the word. Make my task a bearable task today. I pray that the word of God, that revelation knowledge, will flow freely, uninterrupted, unhindered by any satanic or demonic force. I decrease that you would increase. And I give you the glory and the praise for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. On behalf of my wife and this great ministry team, I bless you in the name of Jesus. John chapter 10 is very powerful. One of the things that John does that's different from the other synoptic gospel writers is that he paints a different portrait in each chapter of Jesus. If you want to study the Bible, I recommend that you not start with Genesis. I want you to start with John, that Saint John in the New Testament. He writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, this is chapter 1, was with God, and the Word was God. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He actually explains to you that Jesus was a part of creation. You will understand creation better if you start with St. John chapter 1. Each chapter he paints a different portrait of who Jesus is. Notice he is the door. And if you're going to find life, you must come through the door. If you go through the window, in other words, you want to study all religions, you want to get all of the information, you're going to wind up being a thief and a robber and waste time. When they teach professionals to pick up counterfeit money, they don't show them counterfeit. They make them study the real thing, that when the counterfeit shows up, it stands out. That's how it is with Jesus. You don't need to study other religions so you can have information. You need to know the real thing. Step through the door. And when the counterfeit shows up, it'll stand out. That's like trying to teach your kids to respect all adults, but you never taught them to respect you. Once they learn respect and how to treat you, any disrespect by anybody else would just stand out. Teach them how to relate to you as a parent. I was talking to our church about giving one year, and a man came to me, and he was very sincere. He said, I believe that you're a little overbearing about giving. You should bring someone else to do that because it doesn't look good for you to do it. And I said, so you need your neighbor to teach your kids how to relate to you? He said, whoa. I said, your philosophy, this is what you're telling me to do, is that somebody else should teach your kids how to relate to you. When you're in the house yourself, your philosophy is off. And if you can't relate it to your household, you shouldn't try to put it on me. So I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. You take that kind of teaching to somebody else. If I bring a guest in, they're not trying to pastor the church. They're coming to accentuate and to sow seed to help things grow. One plants, another waters. So God, who's supposed to plant? I'm the planter, the great sower of seed, every Sunday, taking it out of my satchel, and I'm throwing it in the field. Hopefully, some of it will fall on good ground.
hopefully somebody's going to have the soil that's ready for the word, that when it's sown, it won't just lay on the top, but it goes deep into your heart. And as the sun hits it and as the weather hits it, because it's deep, it creates an atmosphere that causes the seed to germinate. At night, it contracts, and during the day, it expands. The heat makes it expand, and at night, it contracts. And as it continues to do that in your heart, after a while, the seed dies. It cracks, and then new growth comes out of it. Except the grain of wheat fall into the ground and die. It abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. In other words, the word has to go in you and then crack open. Thank you, Lord, that what's on the inside of the word will start growing in your soul. I'm the planter of seed. Others come in to water what is planted so God can give the increase. Do y'all understand now? That's how that works. And every chapter in John paints a different portrait of Jesus. In chapter 1, he's the word made flesh. Thank you, Jesus. In chapter 2, he turns water to wine. In chapter 3, he is the new birth. That which is born of flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the spirit is spirit. In chapter 4, he speaks to a woman at a well. You worship and you don't know what you're worshiping. But a day is coming where true worshipers will worship him in spirit. You have to go all the way to Jerusalem to worship. But there's a moment coming where people all around the world will be able to give God worship in spirit and in truth. In chapter 5, he deals with the bread. He serves his people bread. And in chapter 6, there's a different portion. In chapter 7, there's a different portion, portrait. In chapter 8, there's a different portion. And in chapter 10, he is the door. He's painting different portraits so you can see him. And as I'm telling you, when you read it, you're going to start seeing clearly. He's the door. He's the bread. He's the wine. He's the word made flesh. What are you saying to me? And after a while, it will explode in your soul. Because all of these things are tangible. You get wine in you, you're going to stagger. Yeah. He said, don't be drunk with wine where there is excess, but be filled with me so you can stop trying to be cool and you can stagger in my presence. Not stagger to stumble, but you move outside of yourself and start moving in the influence of the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. So you have to say, I don't feel comfortable in the house with them and looking for an offense. You lift up your hand and give him the glory because this is how we move when we stagger in his presence. Men that drink, they don't care if you turn them down. They'll keep coming back. I don't want to talk to you. That's all right. You didn't want to talk to me last minute, but what about today? What about now? They're coming back. And when you got the spirit in you, you won't be hurt so easy to back up. You'll keep pushing forward. And offense won't stop you from pursuing God. When you set a goal, you will go after that goal until you finish the goal. When you're full of the Spirit. We need to flush. We've been full of junk, but God wants us to be full of the Spirit. We've been full of foolishness, but we need to be full of the Spirit. Jesus identifies himself as the door. As the door. I am the door. You don't have to ask any more questions about that. Well, what about Confucius? And what about Muhammad? What? Jesus said, I'm the door. So ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. And when you got the real thing, put your hand on that knob and turn the door and stop trying to access every other portrait. Every other porthole, turn the knob on the door and find access to Jesus. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, he says. And the thief comes not but for to steal
Now he's identifying Satan, the true thief, that tries to get people to come through different access points. The thief, this is his design, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. To kill you, that means you don't survive the trial. To steal from you, that means to take what's yours as his own. And to destroy you, to wipe off your name and no one will remember you off the face of the earth. That's his design. So while you're playing with other access points, he has a scope on your back. To kill, to steal, and to destroy. While you're going after money and the goods of this world, his design is to get you to go after this and you miss the door. You can get what you want and lose what you have. Many people are falling in the trap to go after this world and they won't access the door, and you will get what you want. There is a power of man to build buildings. Every building in New York was not built by an angel. It was built by a man that had power and resources. You can build what you want, but you may lose what you have. You got to understand something. There's a God of this world that wants us to go after things his way. Access the door. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And God will add all of these things unto you. Don't go after things first. Access the door. The thief comes through other windows to kill, steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and that you might have that life more abundantly. God wants you to live an abundant life. That's a prosperous life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Everybody should memorize John chapter 10, verse 10. The portrait is the door. He wants you to fulfill your God-given purpose. God wants you to fulfill your God-given purpose, to walk out the dreams his word promises you, and even the dreams or the aspiration that he's placed in your heart today, not tomorrow. You must go for it now. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I need to say it just like that. God wants you to fulfill the aspirations, first of all, the promises that he made in his word. He wants you to fulfill them. But he also has put aspiration in your heart, and he wants you to go after it now. And I need to say it that way so you can say, whoa, he shouted. That's right, because now is the time. Not tomorrow. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Right now, get up, get on up right now and go for the gift, for the aspiration. Don't put your future on hold any longer. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Glory to God. When should we go for it? Y'all scared me. I'm going to do that one more time. When should you go for it?
Now!
That's, ooh. You mean right now?
Now!
Do you really mean right now?
Now!
Tell me.
Now!
Glory to God. It's right now. It's right now. Say it's right now. Come on, give him praise for it. It's right now. We're not waiting on it tomorrow. It's now. Your kids can't wait another day. Now! Your marriage can't wait another day. Now! Your business can't wait another day. Now! Your healing can't wait another day. Now! Your kingdom expansion financially can't wait another day. It's now! Souls don't need to be saved tomorrow. They need to be saved when? I can't wait, because he says now. Today, many Christians are focused on what happened after. What happens after they leave the earth? Ooh, I'm going to heaven. One of these mornings, and it won't be long, you're gonna look for me, and I'll be gone. I'm going up to heaven. God don't want you to just think about what's gonna happen when you get to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry. I looked over Jordan, and what do I see? Coming angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Sweet Lord, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Sweet Lord, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Y'all did good. That's good. But God said, now. That means you got to take all of the aspirations that you're going to have in heaven and start seeing him doing something in the land of the living. He wants you to prosper now. He wants you to be healed now. He wants finances to come into your life now, because there's kingdom work we need to do in now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. God don't want you to come to him to follow Jesus just because you can escape hell. When you die, you don't want to go to hell. Some of us got saved because the preacher was preaching fire and brimstone. And we got scared into Jesus. Scared straight. Ooh, I don't want to die and go to hell. I better give my heart to Jesus. But he really wants you to transition to a place where you serve him because you love him. Love goes further than intimidation. Intimidation and scared or fear may push you to a point where you do some things. That's good, but it can't sustain you. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not boast. Love bears burdens of others. And when you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you fulfill the law in its entirety. And then you add to that, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you're a believer and you follow Jesus, listen to me. You will not go to hell. You're going to heaven. Let me say it again. I don't have to shout this one. If you're a believer and you're following Jesus, he saved you. You don't have to be afraid of hell. I got a lot of preachers, man. They just, ooh, you better do right. You better do right or he's going to kill you. That is not the message. That's why you need to read John. You're going to see he loved. For God so loved the world before you did anything that he gave his only begotten, John 3. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have. That's a gift. The light of life. You don't ask God to save you because you want to get out of hell. Ask him to save you because you love him as he first loved you. Thank you, Jesus. I need to talk for a moment about pillars, because it is pillars that we need to build on that can hold up the abundant life. Let's talk about the purpose of a pillar. Write it down. A pillar is a large, typically a cylinder type shaped or a square solid shape structure that stands upright. If it's a pillar, it can't be laying on the ground. That's a railroad track. Pillars stand upright. They support homes, buildings, either structurally or aesthetically. Now, some people like pillars in the home, just aesthetics. It really doesn't hold any weight, but it looks nice. And you got a lot of people in the world, they look like they hold weight. But as soon as you put a little pressure on them, you see they have nothing inside that can withstand weight.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message, Living the Abundant Life, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2308-2708. That's reference number 2308-2708.
Awaken women, get ready to stand in faith and grow together at the 2023 Awaken Women's Conference. Resilient, a faith that stands. You will be empowered to embody the virtues of humility, courage, beauty, and intelligence to live free in Christ. Join me Friday, September 22nd and 23rd at Truth Revealed International Ministry. Visit truthrevealed.org to register today. You don't want to miss this action-packed event. It's going to be a God encounter.
Trim Nation, thank you for your support and for sporting your Truth Revealed pride with the TR Monogram Ice Shaker Tumbler. Tumblers are still available in black or white, so stop by the CMP counter and get yours today.
Women's Sunday School is still on every Sunday at 10 a.m., so make sure to join Pastor Sabrina in the sanctuary.
Trim Nation will hold auditions for announcers to serve as the voice for various on-air and screen broadcasts. Candidates must possess a strong, distinct voice that can enunciate and enunciate clearly, accurately, and project to a large audience. Strong verbal communication and public speaking skills with the flexibility to attend recording schedules are required. Email trimcompro@gmail.com for more information.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.